Hi, I'm Dave, and I'm here with Aideen, and we're interviewing Brezzy.
What brings you to theatre today?
Well, my uncle is actually very well involved with it. He's been a teacher himself, Jerry Breslin in Donegal, and I spoke to Smoss and what he was trying to achieve with the whole thing, especially what we're talking about, which is massively important among teachers and pupils, which is emotional well-being, and something that when I was in school certainly wasn't on the agenda, so it's great to see it actually change.
What do you think Ireland as a nation can do to remove the stigma associated with mental health?
I think there's a lot of things we can do. I think more importantly, I think the media have a serious amount of power here. The media is very, very powerful. It can make people like the Kardashians relevant. It shows you how powerful the media can actually be. So if they started using that and started putting it on the agenda in a very real way, rather than just giving us 2 or 3 minutes in a radio slot and thinking that we can get a message across, I think it's time that programming and radio and TV programming starts concentrating, like they do in physical health, on mental health, because no matter how physically strong you are, it's absolutely pointless if your head's not in the right place.
You came out quite publicly against John Waters' denial of depression as an illness. What provoked such a strong reaction?
My reaction to John was, number one, is he shouldn't have done the interview in the first place. Sunday Independent has its place for what it does, and it does it very well, but it's not the type of place you want to do an interview on depression or even mention it. The other side of it is, John is a very intelligent man. He's very well respected as a journalist in general. And I put myself in my shoes as a 15-year-old and how that would have made me feel if I had read that as a 15 or 16-year-old or even heard about what he said. And as a 15 or 16-year-old, it's a lot harder. You mightn't just have the maturity to understand what it is that's happening. So I just felt that John, who uses his spirituality to help himself, I think he should have just kept it to himself. It was a nothing thing to say. It was the wrong thing to say. He was completely wrong, and that's not an opinion.
We read that you suffered from insomnia and panic attacks as a teenager. What message would you give to teenagers battling the similar challenges?
Well, I still live with panic attacks. I still live with occasional insomnia and depression. It's just part of my life, something I've accepted. It's something I learned. I know how to deal with. I certainly know how to manage it. But as a 15 or 16-year-old, my biggest regret was I waited a year before I told my family about it. And during that year, I did a lot of silly things, including breaking my own arm. And I think within that year, I think the minute I told my mother after that, everything became a lot brighter, everything became a lot clearer, and more importantly, understood what it was and that an awful lot of people had the same thing.
Do you think technology can be part of the problem or is it part of the solution?
It's both. I think technology, to a point, has gone too far and it's just going to keep going further. But I do think, the one thing with technology and the one thing with media is all that matters with a lot of these people is money, money, money. They don't put the human aspect into it at all. I think there's a way of using technology very cleverly to actually start developing apps that can promote mental wellness and emotional well-being, especially in schools, because there's no point now really trying to contact teenagers through TV or radio because they're not watching TV anymore. They're not listening to radio anymore. They're using their phones. They're using their laptops. So somebody has to get clever and pick up a way. And this is something that I'm working on at the moment, hopefully, to design something that can have some kind of a profound effect, especially on teenagers.
You were a very accomplished sports person when you were younger. Why did you choose music over sport?
Well, I didn't really choose it. I got a particularly bad injury playing rugby. And also, I think the type of industry I was in to play rugby was very difficult. To live with depression and play rugby was very, very difficult, especially when you got injured. And I had 2 passions in life, music and rugby. And the one bit of advice I would give to everybody is if you're not truly passionate about what you're doing, stop doing it. Find something that you are passionate about. And if your mother or father turns around to you and says, don't pursue music because there's no future in it, I believe Niall Horan's teacher told him that when he was 15, and I went back to school in Mullingar to do a talk, and that very same teacher, I left the front page of the Irish Times, which said Niall had just earned 22 million in a year. So I don't believe that parents have a right to tell their kids that they can't be creative and they can't pursue that side of things. If they're good enough, they will actually achieve what they want to do.
Music is one of your passions. Is there any song in particular that would bring you back to your school days?
There's plenty. I think I was around for the explosion of Nirvana, and I always, to this day, will remember the first day I heard them. And I kind of, like, I suppose, I don't know if there's any band that can equate to them now for teenagers, but for me, it changed my life, the whole idea of aggressive music. I loved it, and I think that album, especially Nevermind, was the all I can remember as a 13, 14-year-old, and Oasis as well were massive when I was a teenager.
Where do you meet your team? You can find us at ymt.fm. Thank you, Brizzy.
Pleasure. Thanks, guys.